Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk.
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. This intro's going to be a lot better because I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by the man I have a new appreciation for in podcast intro and outros. He holds the ship and correspondence together. It's Luke Owen.
Hello, Swav Nation. And hello to you, Oliver Davis. Was it? It's not that hard to do these intros and outros, though.
I don't know. I just feel like I just thought, oh, Luke sent me the emails. I'll take it from there. I think the other thing is that I have no natural chemistry with Laurie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we just don't get on. We're two square pegs just hammering into each other.
I actually thought that you two did rather well.
I'm kidding. I'm only kidding.
I very much enjoyed it. I also want to give you some props because you really showed me up in your reading of emails.
Oh, did I?
Well, in the sense of you pre-read them, cut out the bits that didn't need to be said, and just gave like the little juicy centers that you needed. Like, if it was a Tootsie Pop, you just got rid of all the outer layers and just gave you that sweet little nectar at the center of it. Whereas I will be like, nope, these people have spent time writing out these words. I'm going to read them, but in doing so, poorly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we all learnt.
I
showed you a better way to do things.
You did. And do you know what I've not done? Pre-ready.
I've not done that. I mean, that would be a very quick turnaround to implement feedback.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but it's feedback I've had for months. So, but I am quite slow at these sorts of things. But good intro and outro yesterday. Some good Pokemon chat that I tuned out a little bit off. And I enjoyed the emails that I had already read and then sent you across.
Well, I started the Pokemon chat. I wanted to continue the awkwardness that started it off. But Laurie then got into Pokemon because he knows a lot about it, which made me interested. So we couldn't not get interested in the inane chat. What? So you weren't here yesterday?
I was not.
Tell us what you were doing.
Well, I had to run some errands. I had to take my wife to the hospital. It's nothing bad.
Don't bring it down.
Well, brought it up.
No, but I was just saying the other stuff you did.
Oh, well, yeah, I did that, but, you know.
What does Luke do on a day off? He still edits the podcast. That's what he does.
I said to you, because I knew you would just upload the YouTube audio, and I was like, I'm not having this because I take pride in this.
You do.
And I like to have proper intros and outros. The pod swafters like this, so I want to give it to them. So I just said, like, hey man, I'll have some time in the afternoon, just send it across and I'll edit it from home. I don't mind. So I tidied up the house a bit, did the washing up. I watched some of Games Done Quick, which is the event that's going on at the moment, people speed running games for charity. Watched that for a little bit. And then I played Quackshot for the Mega Drive, which is one of my favorite games. Got very frustrated on the final level because it is not hard. It's just frustrating to play because you can die quite easily. And that's annoying. And it's unlimited.
Why is that not hard?
Because it's you die. Whenever you die, it is your fault. It's not because the game is like it's not because the game is the game is hard and you die and you're like, I'm an idiot for dying that way. That's really frustrating. And it is a game for kids.
Okay.
You know, but it is very hard and very frustrating. And so I played that for a bit. It's also got unlimited continues, which just means that I mean, I may as well get to the end. Like that's the sort of mindset. I mean, it's like, I mean, I've come this far. I'm just not going to stop playing now because I know I can beat this game. I've beaten it a lot, so I'm just going to beat it again.
2 a.m. in the morning. Luke, are you coming to bed? Shut up, woman!
I heard that because I then played Castlevania on the NES, and that is equally as frustrating. But that is a game I've never beaten because I can never get past death. There's the hallway before death is a nightmare to traverse if you don't have the holy water. But in order to have the holy water, you've got to get through that whole level without dying. And that's not an easy task because you've got to do it essentially with only two power-ups to get you through to the end. It's not easy.
How close is that to the end then?
Well, how do you mean?
Like, if you can't beat death, is death the last level?
Second to last, yes. Right. It's the penultimate before you then get into like Dracula's castle and go and face Dracula. So I've never beaten the game, and again, couldn't get past the hallway. But then I've only got like two hit points left before I face death. One hit, and I'm dead. Happens over and over and over again. But again, unlimited continues. So you just keep doing it, don't you? You just keep trying, and you just keep failing. And that's what I did for 2 hours. The game only takes 20 minutes to beat if you can do it right. 2 hours later, still couldn't get past death. And it would just go, do you want to continue? Yes, I bloody well do. I'm going to give it another go. And my wife came into the room and said, like, should we make some dinner? And then I said, I'll just finish up playing this game. Did I? No. I just kept on playing. And then I was like, I'm going to stop. I'm going to effectively stop playing.
You didn't finish it.
Of course I bloody didn't. I've never finished the game. So I was like, no, I'm done. I am so angry now. It's my day off work and I'm annoyed. And I don't want to be annoyed on my day off from work. So I pressed stop. And I turned it off. And then I went out and had some nice dinner with my wife. And then because I'd spent so long playing a stupid game from 30 years ago, I then had to make my lunch later at night, and then I made my lunch and I went to bed. And that was my day off.
Well, sounds really fun and rewarding.
I had a great time.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
That's your thing, isn't it? You've got Spider-Man just sitting there on your PS4.
Uh-huh.
You've played an accumulative 20 minutes of it, I would say, from what you've told me.
I think I've done two of the bosses on there. I've certainly done, I want to say Scorpion. I definitely did the Scorpion. That's the one in the bank, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
I did. Wow,
I've done that one.
So early on.
Yeah, I've done that.
That's like first 10%.
Who's the next boss?
I can't remember.
I don't think I've done a boss since Scorpion. So that is where I am currently at with the game. It's been so long since I played it, I don't know. So I haven't.
But Castlevania.
Castlevania, I spent a good 2 hours playing that, a game I've yet to beat. And I could beat Spider-Man, because that game's dead easy. I could definitely beat that game.
Right, mate. Well, why haven't you then? I beat it really well.
Because I want to play Castlevania. I also downloaded Castlevania Symphony of the Night for the PS4, a game which came out 20 years ago.
That's more recent.
It's more recent, and it's also great. But my wife was also using Netflix, so I couldn't use my PS4 yesterday. So I've got a stack of PS4 games that I've got since getting one. I've finished two of them. I finished Uncharted, which is a game for the PS3. I finished that one, and I finished Doom, because I really enjoyed Doom. But I haven't finished any of the other games I've bought for it since then. So Resident Evil 7, haven't finished that. Haven't finished Spider-Man. Alien Isolation, I've probably played for about 5 minutes. You know, nowhere near finishing that one. There's loads of games I've bought and I've just not finished or played for about 10 minutes and never gone back to.
I feel so anxious when that happens.
Yeah.
If I've just got uncompleted things, unread books, half watched TV series, uncompleted movies, they're just there.
Yeah.
Mocking me.
Come on.
Yeah, come on. You can't complete me.
You can't even finish this.
No.
What's the matter with you?
I'm six parts with each episode being 70 minutes long. There's no way you're going to complete Wild Wild Country on Netflix, Ollie. And Netflix knows that. And it's just going to keep on putting continue watching right at the top. Oh, no. You just want to go and watch a 20-minute disposable episode of a comedy, don't you?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to invest your time and learn something.
And you can just see it falling further and further down the continue watching list.
I watched another episode of it last night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm up to episode 3 now. And it wasn't even on the continue watching thing, and it dropped off. I didn't know that happened.
I'm back into watching Daredevil again.
You said, yeah.
Great show, mate. Mm. Season 3, off to a hot start, I would say. How was Wild Wild Country episode 3?
It was great. It's one of those things that's very good when you watch it, and then you're like, I don't care about watching anymore.
Ah, oh, the sign of a quality TV show.
Yeah, it's Breaking Bad series 1 and 2. Don't act like that didn't happen to you. It took me 4 years to watch all of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard, that's not an uncommon experience.
I've not watched a single episode of it, so I can't really comment on that one too much. But I've whenever people tell me, it's the same with The Wire. It's like, oh, you've got to get through the first 2 seasons, and then it gets good.
The first season's amazing. The second series is arguably the best one.
I have been told otherwise. I've certainly been told you have to get through the first season in order to watch it. And I'm like, that's a long time. I haven't got that time. I hadn't even got time to finish Spider-Man, even though I had all day yesterday, and I didn't even play it. That's how little time I've got.
I think it's a priority issue rather than a time issue.
That could also be an issue. I also realised as well, because my wife ended up working from home for the rest of the day, that I would have just rather hung out with her. I would have just rather sat on the sofa and watched something with her than play a game on my own for a bit.
Mm.
Yeah. So if she's there, I just want to play games. I don't want to play games. I just want to.
If she's there, I
just want to get as far away as possible and do anything else. Now, when she's there, I just want to watch TV shows with her.
Well, that's the end of the intro.
Yeah. So we've got some WrestleTalk Get Betters at the end of this, and I may even do an Agony Arts request. So we're going to be kicking off this show talking about... Ollie's also brought up iTunes reviews because I think he wants to do some of those.
I forgot. I keep forgetting that we're going to do them.
So we're kicking off the show talking about Becky Lynch becoming the new number one contender to Asuka's SmackDown Women's Championship at the Royal Rumble. This is how you do the segue into the next bit of the show.
It's very well done.
For future reference. And then we'll have the rest of the SmackDown review and then the outro. Here's the show.
We're going to kick off with the news coming out of the Triple Threat main event, a cracking three-way between Carmella, Charlotte and Becky Lynch, which was to decide the number one contender for Asuka's women's title at the Royal Rumble. And, as you can see here, I've written at the start of this match, prediction, Charlotte wins, Carmella is there to take the fall.
Amen. 50% of the time, you're right every time.
And I thought, I'm going to write that down there as proof. So when it exactly plays out that way, I can show Luke that's what happened, and I'm a genius. But my confidence is shaken at the moment.
Yeah.
After Jay White beating Okada, and now this.
Jay White beating Okada as well has put you at the bottom of the Wrestle League table.
I'm spiraling, man. I went home and I just drank. I've been on a bender since then of depression and self-doubt.
Oh, man. It's all right, dude. You still there's Takeover Blackpool this weekend. There's...
I don't know who's even signed for that. I just know I don't like it. I just know that Pete Dunne's now turned heel in real life. Anyway, we're going off track.
Like, you never watched an episode.
we're going off track.
We are.
So this was a great three-way.
It was a great three-way to cap off a really great episode of SmackDown Live. I really enjoyed this week.
In quotes, right? This is my poster review of this week's SmackDown. Very watchable.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Oh. So watchable.
Find me a more watchable episode of WWE from the last year. Flew by. They did that. Like that was a big change here. They upped the pace significantly. All those bits where they're usually like, hey, Todd Phillips, talk about all the things that are going to come up. They just cut all those bits, which I'm pretty sure is about 15 minutes of TV time, and just flew themselves into the next segment.
Man, I mean, I woke up on a bit of a high this morning anyway with the All Elite rally that was taking place just down the road from there, outside the home of the Jacksonville Jaguars, because we're British. And
Jaguars,
exactly. Yeah, the Atari Jaguar. So I was just kind of like on a high because you woke up with all that exciting news that Jericho's there, which we kind of all expected, but Pac has also signed, Joey Janela, all these names. And then you're listening to Wrestling Observer Radio and you've got Meltzer talking about there are other names that are going to be coming there. They're negotiating with these people. New Japan now might want to work with them because they don't want to lose Kenny Omega. You've got all of this stuff going on. So I was already kind of like, what a great time to be a wrestling fan. Really, really thrilled for All Elite. But that's probably a Saturday topic. And then I watched this episode of SmackDown Live and I'm like, oh, all right, WWE, what have you got to show us then?
Let's downgrade my expectations. Back in WWE mode.
You've already announced The Bar versus The Usos again. Come on, guys, just lay it on me. And this was a terrifically watchable, fun episode of SmackDown. Not a newsworthy episode, by any stretch of the imagination.
I mean, we got a big Royal Rumble match announced.
But that was already announced 2 weeks ago. And then they just changed their minds.
So was it Charlotte?
No, it was Becky and Asuka. They announced that like after TLC, and then they said no because Paige. It was Paige's fault.
This was the main. They announced it on main event.
Yes,
because no one told the main event production team that they weren't going to announce it yet. But before
apparently they changed their minds.
Ah.
So on the Tuesday morning, it was decided that we're going to do Becky versus Asuka at the Rumble. Then before SmackDown aired, they changed their mind. But they'd already made the graphic and given it to the main event production team, but then didn't tell them that the match wasn't taking place. So main event announced it was happening. Then they had to blame it on Paige because it was all her fault for having the audacity to try and make one more match before she stepped down as GM.
I think it's AJ Styles' fault. He's got to prove to the McMahons that he's the real AJ Styles.
The vicious AJ
Styles. Yeah, making incorrect match graphic submissions.
Exactly. So, I would say that it wasn't a particularly newsworthy episode of the show, but I loved every match. There was only four matches, but I loved each of them.
Yeah.
And I had a fun time with it. Really, really watchable. The complete counter to Raw on Monday, which, despite the fact I didn't have to watch because I wasn't coming in, I still watched.
Yeah.
Because I fooled myself. I'm blaming you for this, by the way. You're Paige in this example. I'm blaming you because you had convinced me last week, hey, it's going to be the first live episodes of the year. Those are going to be the ones with the big changes. And I was like, Ollie's right. 50% of the time, he's right 100% of the time. I definitely think he's going to be right here.
God,
I watched it. It was a bad show.
You're sending me spiraling again. I can't predict anything at the moment. I thought Jericho would hold off for his AEW announcement as well. I mean, to be fair to me, WWE kept saying it's a new era. Nothing's changed.
But these new faces, they're on their way.
Back to this triple threat match.
Yes.
It was Becky, Charlotte and Carmella. This feels like a slightly tweaked, refreshed SmackDown. When they came out, they had tweets that each person had posted in advance of this match, kind of building the match. Carmella is like, hey, I didn't have this given to me. And Carmella is a great promo. And Charlotte had something similar. Becky Lynch's Twitter game is just the best in wrestling at the moment. And it really showed me how strong the women's division is, on SmackDown at least, because they've got more than just one star, and how good all of those women are. Like, that is Becky and Carmella writing their own tweets, largely, I think. They're talented. Like, they should have more input into their promo like segments, and hopefully that's what's happening. But they also had these interview backstage pre-tape things run throughout the night. One from Carmella, then later from Charlotte, then later from Becky. And those, nothing special, but they were so solid.
Yeah, absolutely was, yeah.
And it made it feel like a big deal, that match.
I said in the review that because they were like sit-down interviews, and it was just it was a really simple and effective way of kind of elevating the promos themselves, because it wasn't just with Kayla Braxton or whatever going like, you are in a match later on tonight. What do you think of that match? And then they then say some scripted verbiage garbage and then sort of stare off into the middle distance. It made it feel big time. It made it feel like a really big deal because they would take it, or the promos were so serious. Carmella, like, I'm not the biggest Carmella fan. I've enjoyed her more since her babyface turn, where she essentially just dances. And that's grand. Like, I much prefer that than wrestler Carmella, because she had an awful, awful run as champion last year. But I thought her promo was really, really great. It was like, people always overlook me. People are just expecting me to not win this match, but I'm going to go out there and prove you that I am more serious now. And I thought Becky's promo was awesome. I thought Charlotte's promo was really, really good as well. Did you see Becky's takedown of Charlotte's tweet?
Which one?
Well, the one where...
It would be less vague.
The one which it wasn't her. So I think it's the actual tweet they showed in the video or in the episode, where it's like, you know, I was born into this, yada, yada, yada. But she also had that with a picture of herself posing in front of all of the title belts that she's won.
Okay.
With a background that was taken from the Dark Knight poster, by the looks of it. But Becky said, like, it's not you in the image. Someone had taken a picture of Britney Spears and put Charlotte's face over it.
Oh.
It's mad. It's really weird.
But are you talking about, because there was a Britney Spears one that Charlotte had a pose? I haven't seen a Dark Knight one.
Well, it's probably the same one. It's the same Britney Spears image, but they just put Charlotte's face over Britney's face.
Okay. Well, whatever. I also quite liked that this was a women's main event of TV. I only realised that afterwards. Like back 6 months ago, oh, the women are main eventing a show.
Yeah.
Now this feels normal and natural for the women to main event a show.
Yeah, I think like they had that time of being like, hey, look how progressive we're being. We're doing this. Push it down, PR. Now it's just sort of a given that they just like, you know, women main event shows all the time now, and they don't just hammer it home. It's quite nice.
This is the best program on the show at the moment. So yeah, it's there. Ah, yeah, there's a. Yes, yeah, we have seen that one. We're talking about the same one. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Why would you post that? Like, I don't know if Charlotte's Googled...
Maybe it's a bit of fan art.
That's what I think it is. I think Charlotte's Googled that image, found it, and be like, that's great.
That was in Laurie's News on Monday, if you want to go and check it out. But the match itself, it was Becky running wild early on, as she should do, and then she and a lot of the spots were based around Charlotte and Becky just hating each other.
Yeah.
I'm so glad they're sticking with that, because there was a danger after Survivor Series where they reconciled, but it wasn't. It was just Becky saying, you go at Ronda, but they still hate each other. And Becky's really committed and consistent as a character.
I think, yes, to a degree. I would have taken out the hug, but yes.
Yeah, the hug. Yeah. Can take or leave the hug.
Well, exactly. You know, you just forget about that one bit of the promo and you just, you know, rewrite history.
That's a lot less than WWE usually forgets about character consistency.
Yeah.
Charlotte was really, really good in this match as well from a wrestling perspective, I thought. She did a double moonsault, like she flipped twice.
She didn't do a ricochet.
No, but Becky and Carmella on the ground, and she moonsaulted onto both of them.
Yep.
She missed a moonsault off the top rope to the outside.
Yeah, Mella did quite a nice little dive.
Yeah, I worry about Charlotte's knees. it's the warrior in me, you know?
Yeah.
I see her do those spots, and they're impressive, but it's just a throwaway thing.
Yeah.
Missing a moonsault to the outside.
Yeah.
That's a big spot.
It's hard on the old kneecaps and you know the knee muscles themselves. And they also did the natural selection from the top rope, shades of SummerSlam, because this was a SummerSlam rematch. And it was really interesting that this was a SummerSlam rematch, but didn't feel like a rematch of sorts, because the characters from that point there are in completely different places as to where they were just 6 months ago.
Yeah, talking about character consistency.
Mm.
What are you, Carmella? what motivates you?
Don't get me started on that Carmella character. Was she good at wrestling? Was she bad at wrestling? They could never make their mind up.
But it was fast-paced as well, the in-ring action, as well as the whole show, the way it was presented. The actual in-ring product was very quick too. And the finish was just so frantic. There were loads of near falls, like people breaking up each other's pins.
Yeah.
And there was a great bit where, like, I think, I can't remember what she said exactly, but Charlotte pushed Carmella off Becky and just went, no!
Yeah, just like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you don't.
I really like that. But the finish was Becky breaking up a Charlotte figure eight with a leg drop, and then Charlotte gets her in the disarmor, but Carmella breaks that up, and then Becky...
You said Charlotte gets her in the disarmor?
Gets Charlotte in the disarmor.
Uh-huh.
And then Carmella breaks it up, and Becky somehow makes Carmella tap in the disarmor.
Yeah, I think Charlotte had hit a spear
on
Becky, and then Carmella had kicked Charlotte down, and then Becky got Mella in the disarmor and tapped her out for the win.
No selling the spear.
Oh, I know.
Oof.
And then, brilliantly, Anna-Asuka then comes out, and these two just had this stare off. But it wasn't just a stare off, because they were mouthing off at each other. We couldn't hear what they were saying, but they were just mouthing off. And it looked really, really cool. Like the images, I mean, it's the image that we've got in the thumbnail as well, just makes it look so awesome. And it really made me excited for that match at the Rumble.
I think they were saying, what's left in catering? Have they got any of the prawn sandwiches? I like the prawn sandwiches.
What was it that she was eating when she kept Charlotte kept getting attacked?
Couscous,
that was it. I was going to say quinoa.
It might have been quinoa, actually.
Yeah.
Are there any high protein grains backstage still in catering, Asuka?
Yeah.
And Asuka's like, yeah, actually, there's loads, but just with an angry face.
Yeah, if you really want some, I would go back there now, because Big E is there.
Yeah. You're saying right now? Yeah, I want to do this right now. You should get back there. Big E's going to eat it all.
Are you telling me the Xavier Woods has eaten all of the crisps? I am going to go mad if he has.
They haven't even eaten it. They're just having a food fight.
Oh, this is the worst.
And, yeah, so Becky is going to face Asuka for the women's title at the Royal Rumble. And what I think should happen... I don't hate it. if they don't do this. This is a ridiculous idea, but I think it would be amazing. It's for Becky to beat Asuka for the title. That would be a shame, because Asuka would only have really had one pay-per-view cycle to hold the title. And then Becky also comes out very late in the Women's Royal Rumble and wins that too, and challenges Ronda Rousey in a title versus title match at WrestleMania.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of us were all assuming that Becky was going to be in the Rumble. Like, when they announced that she was facing Asuka a couple of weeks ago, like after TLC, I think we all were like, huh, I thought Becky would be in the Rumble. I thought the whole point of taking the belt off of her was to put her in the Rumble, you know, and tell that story. And so, like you, I don't think I was expecting Becky to win here, because I'd figured that she would be in the Rumble. So it's, well, like you did.
Charlotte wins, Carmella takes the fall.
So it's sort of, yeah, maybe they could do that. I mean, it's not like a title challenger hasn't also been in the Royal Rumble. Let's just not forget the Roman Reigns number 30 entry a few years ago. One of the biggest thunderous boos I've ever heard.
You're not allowed to hate on Roman Reigns.
You're not now.
No.
Oh, okay.
But I, or maybe the way they do it, Becky wins, beats Asuka, Ronda's champion, Charlotte wins the Rumble. It's reported that the three-way at Mania is the route they want to go. It'd be a bit clunky with all the titles involved, though.
Yeah, it could be, but I mean, I'm fully expecting Asuka to retain at the Rumble, and then maybe that's when Becky enters herself in. Maybe she beats up Carmella to steal the number 30 spot, because Carmella is the number 30 entrant.
Yeah,
they
mentioned that on here. I was like, God damn it. Why is Mixed Match Challenge still making me angry? I guess the one way around this, because you don't want Becky to lose clean to Asuka. You don't really want a disputed finish if Ronda somehow interferes and costs Becky something. Or four horsewomen action.
That's it, because you want to keep the plate spinning of Becky versus Ronda. Because Ronda sort of did that on Monday, where she mentioned Flair and Lynch in her promo, talking about, hey, the women I would love to face. But it's not them, because I don't really care about them. Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
So it'd be good to keep that plate spinning. But on the same token, I would like to see Asuka retain cleanly. I think it's quite important for her to get a good clean victory.
Yeah, that's because the problem.
Because she didn't win the title clean. So then to have your first defense not clean either doesn't bode well for the rest of your...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Run.
Very similar to how Raw opened with the Seth Rollins, Bobby Lashley cold open brawl backstage. They did a little bit of, hey, welcome to SmackDown, I'm Todd Phillips, we've got a big triple threat for you later. But then it cut backstage to sort of the area behind the seats where you have all the the food area.
Concessions.
Yeah. Concessions. And it's Daniel Bryan there with the WWE title around his waist. And fans kind of, what I would say, like a 5 meter perimeter around him. Like you used to get at SmackDown Just Bring It, when you went backstage and there were still fans.
Yeah, the cardboard fans would part.
Yeah, and they would part and you would walk through them. But there would always be a certain distance away. Which makes me think, Luke, that the fans that Bryan eventually went up to were plants.
You think?
Because they were perimeter.
I don't know, man. They did seem like genuine fans wearing the merchandise they really needed them to wear at that one point. Eating and drinking the things that Bryan wanted to cut promos on.
Yeah. They didn't have Roman Reigns t-shirts on, which would... say really give away that they were plants. Yeah.
And I don't think as well, I mean, I can't say this for certain, I don't think that was the real merchandise stall either.
Yeah, it was just one table
with one guy. This is not a Rev Pro show. This is not like your local indie fed.
Hey, throw shade at Rev Pro.
Yeah, but this, like,
but yeah, there is just one table.
There's one table with all the wrestlers selling their own gimmicks. I've been to a WWE show. There are multiple people running those stages with massive queues trying to sell you merchandise, usually for guys that aren't on the card.
We are being facetious, though, because this was an absolutely incredible promo. I've decided, especially with the one later on that Bryan cuts, which I think is even better than this opening one, he's the best promo... I was going to say WWE easily, but now I'm thinking the whole business.
Oh, big, big claim.
He was so good. He was so in his character. I so bought into everything he was saying, and there was a... like, he's getting me to boo stuff I believe in. He's talking about climate change, saving the planet, and I'm like, no, boo you.
Yeah.
I want to do what I want to do. I want to be free. But, Bryan, he's got a real 80s vibe about him. Just that those really intense, shouty promos.
Yeah, but it's... I think to your point, the reason why Bryan's promos work so well is because he genuinely believes what he's saying. Yeah. These are promos that don't feel like they're written by someone else. They feel like they've been written by Bryan. And he has then sort of channeled his own feelings, taken things that he genuinely believes in, but be like, what is the most pompous way and what's the most annoying way for me to get this across? And it really works. And it was a great promo, sort of cutting promos on like the hot dogs that this guy was eating, having a pop at a lad for drinking a fizzy drink, high glucose corn syrup, out of a plastic cup with a plastic straw.
Single use.
Oh, because no one listened to David Attenborough. I thought it was a brilliant, brilliant promo.
And the fans gave him genuine heel heat, because as he's walking through the concessions, he then goes through the doors, which takes you into the arena. You walk down the steps, there's fans either side, and he just steps at one sort of heavy set fan and just calls him impotent. What do you go? Impotent. Change it. he's a reverse self-help guru. No, not a reverse self-help guru. Just like a very nasty self-help guru.
Totally.
And he got real genuine heat from everyone. And that is just unthinkable compared to what Daniel Bryan has been when he's in his babyface run.
It's kind of incredible, really, because he's really tapped into this sort of like fan mindset. It's kind of like, so back in the day when people wanted, like, you were feuding with Austin, so how do you get people to boo you? It's like, well, you will drink beer like Austin and he's a loser and you're all losers for drinking beer as well. All these fans with their beers go, oh no, I am drinking beer, this is brilliant, hey, beer's great. And like, there is this sort of like hive mindset at the moment that veganism is awful. And the reason why this country is falling apart and this world is falling apart is because Greggs have got a vegan sausage roll now, and that's the worst thing possible. And you kind of just, like, you target those people and be like, you're bad because you eat meat. And you're like, but I'm not. Mm. That's made me angry. I think it's a brilliant, brilliant character. It's genius.
And as Bryan climbs over the barricade, he's still cutting the promo. Out of nowhere, great camera work really kicked off this chaotic pace to SmackDown. R-Truth flies in from the top right of the camera.
Yeah.
So he's jumped off the steel steps and hits him with a forearm.
Boom,
great. We've got a match.
Yeah. And apparently, this built off from an angle that was from the Christmas episode. Mm.
Which we definitely watched.
Oh, almost certainly we definitely watched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this turns like quick commercial break, come back, and they're wrestling in the ring. And Bryan, as he should do, beats Truth in like a minute.
I loved this.
Yeah.
I loved this.
Just solid.
Solid. Absolutely solid. He won clean with his finish, looked dominant throughout, and looked like a champion. And it puts over that he's got a great finish, that he is dominant, and that he wins. He looks like and feels like a champion. And then he walks up to the ramp, gets attacked by AJ Styles. So AJ also looks strong because he sent the guy that just won a match packing. And now you're like, cool. So he's cool. He wins. I can't wait to see them fight. It's simple stuff, but it's really good.
And just from a pace perspective, you're like, what? You just had this really quick match. You're walking up here. AJ attacked you. And then before you can catch your breath, as the officials are pulling Styles and Bryan away, and Bryan kind of walks off to the side of the entrance ramp, Rey Mysterio's music hits.
Yeah.
Boom! 619. And they do the... This is where I was like, this is a new era. They did the shrink screen ad break where you can't hear what's going on in SmackDown, but it's in a corner in the side of the screen, and the rest of the screen is taken up by the adverts. And they did the entrances in the adverts, not the match.
What a novel concept. What a novel concept.
We have been saying this forever. I genuinely, there were a few things that happened on this show where I genuinely thought, someone's watching us.
Oh, if that's the case, then can we put in our Twitter bios that we work for WWE?
Yeah, that's
or
that's
we're
how
WWE
that goes.
Insiders.
I've never had that before because I always think, look, there are loads of ideas out there. We're not the only people who say these things.
No.
But there were just so many bits, so many minor bits as well that annoy us.
Yeah.
That were changed on this show. I was like, Ryan Ward likes us. Road Dogg is a big fan. He's part of the Swap Nation.
But this was a... Oh, no, no. I was about to say it was my favourite match of the night, but that triple threat was so good.
This was my favourite match.
I think it was. I bloody loved this.
Yes.
This was such a fun 10-man. Because Rey Mysterio comes out, and I was like, okay, so I've written Rey Mysterio's name down. I'm like, is it a promo? Is it a singles match? I don't know. And then they
probably
said,
Randy Orton.
I was like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. And Jeff Hardy, that's sort of who I was expecting. And then they put up a graphic that said, what's the match that's coming up after the break? And it was Rey Mysterio and Mustafa Ali versus Samoa Joe and Andrade Cien Almas. And I'm like, I'm so ready. I am so in for this tag team match. And golly gosh, did it deliver.
And although these four have been in combinations over the last few weeks, this felt like a completely fresh matchup to me. And I like when they all got in the ring, I felt like this was, in an alternate universe, that is a match at All In.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Like
at the
first September, the September 1st event. Because
yeah.
It was just like, it's kind of like a dream exhibition match. And that's what this was. And they had a cracking bout with no let up. And you didn't really have the ad break.
There was an ad break.
But it wasn't, it was built well around the action.
It was in the shorter ad break, I believe.
And the crowd were really into it as well.
Why wouldn't you be? Mm. Like you've got to be sort of hot for this because they started at, 10 and then went to 11 for the finish. I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
So Ali is really just so smooth in the ring. I love watching him wrestle. I love the forward roll through the ropes into the facebuster. And he does a crossbody to Joe on the outside. Joe catches him and does a fall away slam behind him, launching Ali onto the announcer's table.
So cool. It made Joe look awesome. And that's what I loved about this match. Not only was it fun, everyone looked great coming out of it. Because Ray ran wild at the end, throwing loads of 619s. He did the Canadian Destroyer spot on Andrade Cien Almas, a spot that I could watch on loop for a good hour because it was so impressive. Was Pentagon's better?
Which?
The Pentagon one from Homecoming on Sunday.
That was definitely better.
Yeah, I didn't want to. I'm just throwing it out there.
But that's like he did a jump off. Was it Phoenix who did it?
No, it was Pentagon that did the.
He jumped off someone's back to break up the pin.
Off a pin, that's
incredible,
amazing. But yeah, so he did this. Ali was doing his dives and whatnot. Joe looked really strong, and then at the end of it, Andrade Cien Almas was the one who got the pin, breaking up the 619, locking in the hammerlock, winning clean with his finish. It's his first win on TV since August last year.
Good grief.
Where he beat Aiden English.
Well, he's proven himself. He really proved himself in those matches against AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. Star-making performances.
Absolutely.
I loved this match. The pace was so quick.
Yeah.
There was, I've written here, well, I wrote this in my notes for the main event three-way. not a rest hold on the entire show, in my memory.
Might have been in the ad break.
Hmm, that's a good point. But not untelevised, which is usually half of TV wrestling action is rest holds in WWE.
Mate, that is a Baron Corbin match template. Yeah. You know how they say, like, Ric Flair wrestles the same match all the time? Baron Corbin, 80% rest holds.
And the other thing, that there was no Jeff Hardy. There was no Randy Orton.
Yeah. It's lovely.
I didn't notice that. And now I have realised that. It does feel nice that they weren't there. I think Rey Mysterio, like just using one of those guys a week is great.
Yeah.
Because Rey was great here. Yeah. And I love Rey. But yeah, a brilliant match.
And it seems like they've dropped that Randy-Rey feud.
It'll always come back. Randy will just come up with a chair one day out of nowhere.
Yeah, somewhere out of nowhere.
But yeah, a fantastic match. Go out of your way to watch it. When do we say that about TV WWE matches?
Yep.
And then we got the Carmella sit-down promo, which we've already talked about. There was an... Continuing with this crazy fast pace of presentation, we got the Usos doing their walking through the backstage area. We've got a match with the Bar. Boom. Then straight into Miz going to Shane McMahon saying, well, why have the Usos got a match against the Bar? We should have a match.
Yeah.
Because you can book anything, right? We want to go for the tag titles.
You know, last week we kind of made fun at SmackDown because they had that point where there was like 12 promos in a row or wherever it was. And it felt like, good crikey, I could do without another promo here. This was, again, you had like a Carmella promo, the Usos, Miz and Shane, and then Rusev came out to cut a promo as well. But it never felt like, good Lord, I'm sick of people talking. I just want to see some wrestling. Because I'd had a massive load of fun wrestling, and I had the awesome Daniel Bryan stuff at the start. And then it was a quick promo, quick backstage segment, quick promo, and then back into some action again. Oh, that was great.
That might be because of the variety as
well.
Exactly. Because the Carmella one is a pre-taped sit-down promo. Mm-hmm. The Usos bit was filmed completely differently. Miz and Shane McMahon was a backstage skit. Rusev was in ring.
Yeah.
So it really nicely changes things up.
Pretty good.
I wrote here that the dynamic of the skit was Miz wanting the title match and Shane going, hey, look, we need to work on our tag team act before we can go for the titles. Which is nice because I was like, oh, they're going to be friends. We want to love these two together before they inevitably break up.
Mm.
But then he just walked away.
Yes.
So it wasn't as good. But by the end of the show, I quite liked what they're doing.
I mean, in all fairness to WWE, they have got a 50% win-loss record, which, you know, that's how you get title shots in WWE,
yes.
Really.
Or pin the champions in a non-title match. Then we got that Rusev promo, which was in the ring. I've got to say, it wasn't bad, but for a show that was so good everywhere else, I felt like this was the weakest part of
the episode. it was the part of the show I probably spent the least amount of time on in the review. Because it was, Rusev came out, called out Nakamura. Nakamura was in the production truck, said it wasn't his fault. At least it made sense that he was able to show a video package. He was in the production truck and told an editor to play it. Great.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And it's heelish in that Nakamura has obviously chosen the select clip to play psychological mind games with Rusev, which was Shinsuke falling backwards because of a Rusev kick onto trained wrestler Lana in kayfabe. Trained wrestler Lana takes a back bump. And that's why she's off TV
it's
this week.
It's written her off TV, man.
It's whatever. You know, sometimes you just gotta just take it for what it is.
I didn't make this joke in the Homecoming review for Impact, but there was a spot when Tessa Blanchard hit Gail Kim, but because she was in a referee's outfit, she went down like a sack of bricks. And she was like, had to recover from it because she took an errant forearm to the face.
Tough as nails.
It's the stripes, man.
It's crazy.
It's why Chris Roberts isn't champion.
Yeah. That's the only thing
the
stopping
only reason
Chris
he's
Roberts.
Not British heavyweight champion.
Chris Roberts is getting so much love on this show since the Wrestle Kingdom debut. Was it debut?
It was debut, yeah.
But they had a Rev Pro title match a few years ago.
Yeah, but I think it was his debut at the Tokyo Dome.
Mm. So Nakamura beat up Rusev afterwards when he sort of lured Rusev to come after him backstage, attacked him with a big box on wheels.
Yeah.
Not the most conspicuous of ambushes.
Yeah.
Oh, no! And
it's coming towards us very slowly.
But Rusev did have a fantastic line here. Even though he was sad, Rusev, he lays the United States title down in front of him. He's sad. He's upset because his wife is at home injured. And that might be down to his actions. So I'm not out here as your United States champion. I'm not someone with the body of a thousand Hemsworth brothers. You just slip even, that in there.
Even when he's somber, still got to make a joke.
He's still handsome.
Yeah, he is still handsome.
Whatever expression he's got on his face, it's always a handsome expression.
He might have my favourite haircut in WWE.
If you were to take anyone's hair, it would be that.
Absolutely, exactly. Yeah, if I was to take anyone's hair and beard combination, because right. I can't grow a full one, it would be Rusev's hair and beard combination.
I'm just holding out for Tanahashi's.
Yeah,
I know that's in the larger world of wrestling.
I was going to say, WWE though, whose hair would you take?
Baron Corbin's.
I've already got that one, mate.
Becky Lynch had her pre-taped interview after that. And then we got The Bar versus The Usos, which is nothing new. We've seen this a billion times before, but I was just having so much fun that I didn't mind it.
Well, that was it. Like, when it was, they announced before the show that it was going to be The Bar versus The Usos, and I thought, oh, good Lord, like, I've seen this match 1,000 times last week, you know what I mean? And then they announced on the show, oh, and the stipulations are, if The Usos pin The Bar, they could get a championship shot down the line. I'm like, okay, so it's not even for the Royal Rumble, it's just at some point. Ask Naomi how those, like, work out. So it kind of, like, wore me down. I was like, good Lord. But I could watch these two have a wrestling match every single week because they're so good that you're like, yeah, they would probably pull out new spots that I haven't seen them do before. And they're so great at what they do. They know each other so well. I loved it. I had such a fun time with it.
I feel like this match was a lot more chaotic than normal. Like, Cesaro spilled over the barricade almost into someone's lap at one point, which is quite rare in the sanitized WWE product.
Exactly. Todd Phillips gets told to move out the way before they do those sorts of spots.
Yeah. That they had a... Yeah, it was just that the crowd were really into the Usos, and there were angles. I feel like this match was more based on angles than it being an actual match. So it kind of gets a pass for being a repetitive combination because near the end, which one is it? Jay is going to make the hot tag, but Mandy Rose's entrance music hits. She comes out in the largest bathrobe. It's not that I want her in a skimpier towel.
No.
It's that I want towels that large in my own house, and this is envy.
They do look very comfy towels.
I've researched it since we talked about it last. They are called bathrobes. They are like...
A bathrobe suggests to me that's what you were wearing at my stag do and you wouldn't get out of, which is like it has sleeves.
That's a dressing gown.
Yeah, but it was more like bathrobes. Yeah, it was more like towel material.
Maybe it's a bath sheet. Let me Google this. We're 35 minutes. Okay, they're called bath sheets. Yeah. Sorry, my
you
bad.
You were wearing
my
a bathrobe.
Yeah, I had a robe at the stag do. Yeah. Look at that. Look at these comfy, dry people. They're enormous.
Kingsley,
you can get a pair.
We could do Kingsley Duo Jumbo towels. Those are some long towels.
Those are too big.
I don't think Mandy's was that long.
No, these are jumbo size.
Yeah, they're only £7.
They're probably sandpaper.
You're okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy one of those for £7. The ones I was looking at were in the realm of £30 a sheet.
Yeah, those ones look like they'd be advertised on Comedy Central before the show starts.
Yeah. So yes, that's. Mandy came out in this giant towel, and she had the little slippers on as well.
Yeah. So essentially, like, I think we're focusing on the wrong thing here. What she said was,
"It depends."
Hey,
Corey
Jimmy,
Graves would like to focus more on Mandy Rose.
Hey, Jimmy, did I leave my gold shorts in your hotel room? And Jimmy was like, "Huh?" But because he was so too busy going, "Huh?" he missed the hot tag, and Cesaro hit the Gotch neutralizer, and the Bar won. So the Usos don't get there. Tag title shot at some point down the line.
Yeah, and as soon as that's over and the Usos are kind of rolling out the ring and Jimmy's like, she looked pretty good though.
Yeah, bath, can I get that bath towel?
Can I get the bath towel?
It looks so comfy.
The Miz's music hits and the Miz comes down and he says to Sheamus and Cesaro that he wants a tag title shot at the Royal Rumble, him and Shane, and Cesaro's like, well, let me discuss it with my partner here. And Sheamus just brogue kicks him and says, yeah, you're on.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? That's an easy win.
It
is. In their heads in kayfabe.
And credit to WWE, it is one of the few matches at the Royal Rumble that is a fresh matchup we've not seen before. Hey, they promised we were going to get matchups we've not seen before, and they've actually delivered this time.
I think, and I'm actually quite excited to see this, the talent in the ring, like just Cesaro, really. But then, like, Miz is a very good promo. Sheamus is great at what he does. Shane McMahon's a madman. I'm quite excited to see that.
I thought I would hear the day where Ollie Davis is sitting going, I can't wait for a Shane McMahon match.
Yeah, since when he came back at 2016. That was the last time I was excited.
Is this because there's three other people in the
yeah,
ring?
Yeah, I think so.
That's what
I
helps.
I think so. I'm excited for a Shane McMahon match. I'm shocked.
I would say it's the one storyline, maybe of two, because I'm not interested in the Naomi one either. But it's a storyline I'm not feeling on SmackDown at the moment.
No.
It's not ringing my bells. It's not really doing much for me. It might just be because I'm not the biggest Shane guy, but it's not really doing a great deal for me.
I feel like it's got potential. Like, I'm not into it either, but I just, there's something about that match. I think they could have a fun bout.
Yeah. A good buffer match between the two Rumbles.
Oh, it'd be a perfect buffer match.
Yeah.
So just before we move on to the post-match angle after that bit, oh, did I say Cesaro accepted?
Yes, when Sheamus boot kicked. Then Sheamus, hilariously, went to leave, and Cesaro had to call him back saying, like, no, we have to pose with the belt.
Yeah.
See Sheamus posing with this big goofy smile on his face going like, oh, yep, no, I know what I'm doing. The bar, I know what I'm doing.
Before the match got started, there was a Mean Gene recap.
Yeah.
Which was a terrific video package.
Such a great video package.
A bit of Hogan in there for good measure.
Mm-hmm.
And Corey Graves had this line.
I thought you might bring this up.
Every tag team that competes on Tuesday nights is world class. Elite.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a smart guy. He's made a lot of Young Bucks references in the past.
Yeah.
Like that could be too sweet and various bits
Super
like that.
Super kick party.
I never thought, because of course the All Elite Wrestling rally was happening across the road from SmackDown just before this went on air. I never thought of Corey Graves as a potential defection.
Oh!
I'm not saying that he's probably just having fun.
Yeah.
But I thought, like, if you had Jim Ross, which seems to be, like, it'd be the play-by-play guy, a Jim Ross-Corey Graves partnership.
A Corey Graves that's unleashed, essentially, because he doesn't have people telling him what to say.
That's, I never knew I wanted that until I started just fantasy booking bits here.
Mm. No, it's a good shout.
Yeah,
it's a good shout. I was going to give a shout out to Sheamus that when he was doing his posing around the ring, he made sure to step on the Miz and walk over him, which I thought was great.
So it cuts backstage after that Miz angle, and Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville are walking along, and Mandy takes off her bathrobe or sheet to reveal that she's got all the gold.
She
things
had it on
her.
All the oh. time. Oh, what a pesky heel. She bloody loves gold.
Yeah. And Naomi attacks them from out of nowhere, and Jimmy breaks things up.
Yeah.
But it was just so fast-paced. Everything was happening
that
one
was
after
one
the other.
Segment.
Yeah.
That was all one segment. The tag match, the Miz stuff, and this was all one segment.
Yeah, that's like
three storylines, yeah.
Entwining as well.
Yeah.
You've got the tag division entwining with this secondary women's division feud. Really, really well-structured show. Then we got the Charlotte sit-down interview, and then we got... what might be my favourite thing on the entire episode.
Brian's promo.
Brian's second promo. He's leaving the arena. He's got mustard stains on his shirt from where he slapped a hot dog out of a fan's hands earlier. And Kayla Braxton gets him and says, you know, you're leaving something about AJ Styles. I switched off when she spoke. But when Brian spoke, he cut a promo with such ferocity and intensity that I just thought it was... It's the whatever the opposite of Braun Strowman's promo was. The extreme other end.
Yeah.
So the best something can possibly be. That was what Brian cut.
And it was a promo that made complete sense. Because Brian at the start of the night was, you know, he was angry at AJ Styles. And AJ's, you know, the audacity that man has to try and take this championship away from him when he's trying to change the world. So he was angry there. And then now he's even more angry because AJ hit him and made him run away. And he's got mustard on his shirt. He had had a very bad night. And Kayla said to him, like, you've had a bad night. And he was like, what? And just launched into this promo. And it was venomous against AJ, saying, like, you think AJ is vicious? No. The new Daniel Bryan is vicious. And I'm the WWE champion. I thought it was a tremendous, tremendous promo.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
And it's just like, when I say that Bryan's promo work at the moment reminds me of stuff in the 80s, I think I just mean he makes me want to see a blood feud match.
Yes. Yeah.
And just, it, like, his promos, I come away from them thinking, I want to see whoever he's facing. I don't come away thinking, well, I do come away thinking, wow, what a good promo. But the main thing is what promos should be. That's the reason they're called promos. They're promotional bits to get over the pay-per-view that people buy money or to see on TV or tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
They're promos. So I did just brilliant stuff from Brian. And at the end of it, I just thought, he does seem vicious. This seems like an unhinged.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of scared of him.
He's kind of
psychotic.
Yeah, it was cool. Really, really good stuff.
NXT people still on their way to WWE.
I'm sick and tired of seeing this video package, man. Sick and tired. And I had this yesterday as well, because I watched Raw, and maybe I glazed over watching Raw. It's funny to watch Raw without taking notes. It's so easy to get distracted.
Mm.
It's incredible how easy it is, actually. I barely saw the third hour.
I get distracted when making notes.
Yeah. But I thought to myself, I was like, God, they didn't mention the women's tag team titles whatsoever on that show. And apparently, I don't think they did here either on this show. And so I was like, you know, A, have they been forgotten about? Or B, is it just something they're not doing yet? And I had a few people say on Twitter saying, like, hey, they don't have to do them right now. They can just do them whenever. My argument to that was like, but then why mention it? Why bring it up in the first place? Get people talking about it and then not do anything with it. And it's the same with these NXT guys. If you had no plan to debut them, then why air the video package to say they're on their way? Because what it'll do is air it for, this is like 6 weeks now, 6-7 weeks.
Longer for Lars.
With nothing to back it up. So it's just filler. And it's got to the point now where I'm now no longer fussed about them debuting on the main roster.
Mm. They've already made them boring. They've already flattened them out to a mid-card
exactly,
level by
yeah.
doing this. Because, and to Pritchard your point, it's because it was the new era. Vince and the McMahons decided to say this new era, but just with words and no action. So you get these announcements. The women's tag title announcement was so flippant. Just like a line in a pre-taped video package of Vince dressed as Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, and nothing's really been said afterwards about, I don't think it's been brought up at all.
Iconic said last week they were going to be the first women's champions, but that's about it.
But like, why do all of those things like this? Because I think as wrestling fans, we like it when big shocking angles happen, stuff we don't expect. That's not to say you can't not foreshadow people, because sometimes doing video packages before people debut is a good way to get them over. Look at the Wyatt family. But this is laughable now. And what's your least favorite one? Because I feel like I've watched them so many times. I hate the EC3 one. No. I hate it. I started off being like, it gets over his character. Now I hate
actively it. Actively hate it. I'm really certain to hate that one. I don't like the Lacey Evans one either, because that Lacey Evans one says nothing about her. At least the EC3 one says something about him. And the Heavy Machinery one features them eating steaks and lifting weights. The Lacey Evans one says nothing.
Mm.
It may as well just say, Lacey Evans, she is a wrestler.
Loses on main event.
Yeah, oh God, what a brilliant way to debut them.
You know when you listen to an album that you love, and you always listen to it in sequence, of course. That's how they were devised, Spotify. Don't playlist it up. And at the end of one track, as that starts to fade out, you'll start playing in your head the start of the next track, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is now, because it's in the same order every time. The start of EC3's music.
Yeah.
I hate it.
So there's people who say, like, oh, well, you know, they'll wait until after the Rumble, they'll wait till before Mania, they'll do it after Mania, and then, so again, why bother announcing it? Why announce all six of them at once? Why not spread those announcements out? If you had no plan to debut them anytime soon, you could have just said, like, here, okay, so EC3 is coming. Then the next week you say Heavy Machinery are coming. Next week, Lacey Evans is coming. And you sort of, like, you drip feed this information to get people to be like, oh, wow, I can't wait to see who they're going to announce next week. Rather than, six names and we're just going to keep telling you they're on their way to WWE.
It's also, I mean, it's bad on so many levels, because if they all do debut in the Royal Rumble match, they're going to get lost in the shuffle.
That's a proper Alan Partridge shrug moment.
And they're all going to lose. Yeah. None of them are winning.
No.
So, yeah, your big debut will be eventually being thrown over the top rope. So we managed to do it. We managed to find something to criticize heavily in this great episode of SmackDown.
But that's technically something that we could criticize that was on Raw as well.
Yeah.
So it's a larger picture problem.
Because we've already talked about the triple threat, we'll close on the sort of the final bit of the Miz Shane stuff, which was backstage. Shane says to Miz, well, that's not what I said. I didn't say go out there and get the title shot. I said, let's work on ourselves. And Miz is like, oh, but I believe in us. I believe in us as an act. You know, daddy issues, stuff like that. And Shane's like, you know what? Okay, let's do this. So before I was like, I wish they were just doing montage training videos, kind of in that Hulk Hogan, Mean Gene Oakland vein that's been brought up so brilliantly this week. Now I think they might do it.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to get everyone invested in them as an act. Miz is so funny. He could, like, those Total Bella skits he did before the Cena-Nikki match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Something in that vein.
He's got 2 weeks. Well, rather, I say that they have got 2 weeks. They've got 2 weeks to kind of, like, build something into this match. I mean, at the moment, really just says that Shane's not in the Rumble.
Or, that's positive.
Although he might be, though.
Still think, might be.
Yeah, he still might be. On
he might win. I could see them getting the tag belts.
Oh, I thought you meant the Rumble.
No.
He could win. I mean, in all fairness, he could also win the Rumble.
Yeah, he's the best in
the world.
He's the best
in the world. On the Rumble, something else I just want to briefly criticise WWE. I hate that graphic they've got for the people who are in the Rumble, where it's just like it's in a square, but it keeps flashing and changing. I can't work out who's in it. They don't leave people on screen because it's not the same faces. It's they add new faces in, but move other people to different places. So at the end of it, I'm like, I don't really know who's in that Rumble, aside from the entire women's division.
Not everyone's been announced. They think they're just random faces. Like the old Royal Rumble one 2 years ago, they had just loads of names. And people were like, Zack Sabre Jr.'s name's in there.
Yeah, and I think Tyson Kidd's name is there or something.
And it was just because they just put everyone on the roster.
With
on
the women, though, I would imagine all of them are in the Rumble.
Yeah, because they haven't got as many.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we've got time for. I would say this was a solid 4 out of 5.
Yep, a high smacktastic. Yeah, it's smack bang in the middle there, which is not what I want to give it. High smacktastic. I think you and I were discussing when I came into the office. It was just missing that killer angle.
Mm.
It was just missing that real newsworthy killer angle to kind of push it into that SmackDown territory.
Yeah, but it's very close.
Yeah. Reviews first.
Okay. I'm trying to pre-read them. That's what I'm doing before I read them out loud. I can do this one. Cheers, Robbie Stanley. He's got two first names. Wrestle Talk is great, consistently adequate.
Oh yes!
Cheers,
that
man.
Is exactly the sort of review we're after.
Consistent stuff. From It's Your Mother, they wrote consistent quality.
Well, quality is a big word.
This is easily my favorite wrestling podcast. Their YouTube channel got me back into it, and their podcasts always provide a bit of fun and laid-back, yet informative approach to their reviews and conversations. I always give myself the chance to have an episode ready for my daily commute. Quite proud to be a member of the SWAF Nation. Keep up the consistent quality work.
What was with the accent?
I don't know. I felt like it was. I was halfway through.
And you thought, Shah Samuels wrote this.
Nothing on you, It's Your Mother. But I got bored. To entertain myself. And when
you did this yesterday when you were reading out Shivam Sharma's Wrestle Talk Get Better. You both said she was like, this is rubbish.
This is why you're good. No, we didn't say that was rubbish. Shivam, you've done so well. We were talking about it later. Like, I felt like we didn't get across that we weren't.
You really didn't.
Did we not really?
Not really.
We're very happy with your progress. Those numbers don't lie. We've got an issue with the pictures that were provided showed very little improvement. Because we couldn't see most of you.
Yeah.
And you were wearing baggy clothes.
But I think I didn't see the images, so I don't know. But I've got a Wrestle Talk Get Better for you. I'll show you how this is done. This one comes in from Phil. Hi, Luke, Laurie, Ollie, possibly Randy as well.
Remember the new rule.
We're not mentioning, even if someone says Randy's name.
You can say Randy's name, but it's hi, Ollie, Luke, and Laurie, or whichever order you want to do that in. It is by preference.
Yep.
Then you say, but not hi to Randy.
Okay.
So that's what you've got to say if you want to say hi to everyone.
Was listening to the first podcast of the new year, and Ollie was talking about his break and running during it, and it reminded me of an earlier comment he made about chafing and runderwear. Chafing can happen pretty easily, especially if you're not dressed properly. Cotton clothes will often will actually retain sweat and other moisture, making you uncomfortable and could cause discomfort. When it is wet, the fibers of cotton become rougher and add to the chafing. Always dress with synthetic fibers like polyester, or with polyester with a bit of wool. Yes, wool. Polyester, and especially wool, are extremely moisture wickening and retain very little moisture. Wearing tops, bottoms, runderwear, and socks with wicking... Wicky-wicky-wab? That's what I thought. Wicky-wicky-wab-wab-west. Properties will cut down on chafing quite a lot. Also, there are a lot of athletic wear that is seamless that could help out too. Anyways, hope this helps you, Ollie, and any of the SWAF Nation going after their 2019 gold. Stay consistent. Philip.
Yep, there was. I was such a cliche over the weekend. First weekend of January, I was in a running shop buying running trainers. Oh. And there were so many people in there, so many chumps, just like me, who are going to start something and then drop it when it becomes too hard.
Yeah.
I think I'm going well. I've got my running watch on that I got for Christmas.
Yeah.
See it?
Uh-huh.
So it will show me. I've got a heart rate of 68 right now.
What does that mean?
It means I'm amped, man.
Because
my average resting rate today has been 51.
Are you so amped because of all the AEW
Yeah,
news?
I'm just amped. I'm GFW amped.
Excellent pull.
Thank you. I forgot what it was called. No, I was like, is it global wrestling? No, it's GFW.
Yeah. Oh, great pull. Good work. I've got an email
Actually, I did some research into chafing over the Christmas holidays.
Well, and Datsun gave you that wonderful present at Christmas.
Oh, God, it's a rubbish Secret Santa. So I'm so hairy. Did we talk about this? Apparently, I've got very hairy nipples. The hair on my nipples is probably the longest hair on my body, not attached to my head.
Yeah.
And that will stop chafing. Well, I wax my balls. So.
Okay. So.
If I let it, maybe. Yeah, so apparently that provides like a little force field
around
to stop
nipples.
the nipples chafing, because that's the biggest problem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well. Do you want to see?
No, I'm good. Thanks.
I could pull one up over and out my top.
It's that long. I've got this email here from Dave Filoni. Great name, Dave. Hey, Luke, just listen to the last Wrestle Ramble where you spoke about Nando's having more vegetarian options than Frankie and Benny's. Good news! Yesterday, Frankie and Benny's announced they have added loads of vegan options to their menu as a part of Veganuary. I might actually be going there tonight because I'm going to go to the pictures on my own. And so I may treat myself to a Frankie and Benny's meal beforehand because it's literally outside my cinema.
That's always a thing that's near cinemas.
I think Cineworld have got a deal with Nando's and Frankie and Benny's and probably Chiquito's that, you know, if we're going to build here, then you can also build your little restaurants alongside it. And then we'll do deals between the lot.
Partner promotions.
Exactly.
Talent exchanges.
Exactly. So there's loads of decent pages on Instagram. He's sort of talking about people who might not be interested, are familiar with Veganuary, which is a bit sort of like Stoptober, where you're looking to ditch meat for the month. He said, there's loads of decent pages on Instagram. I know you don't have an account in the vegan community, but maybe your lady partner would like to follow them. The handles are at Now You Know It's Vegan and Accidentally Vegan UK. Hopefully I can send you, Ollie and Fakador, some vegan snacks eventually. Kindest regards, Dr. David Filoni.
A doctor of vegan.
Mm.
I actually, after my long run on Sunday, we were walking back. Hey, I'm hungry. I'm kind of delirious. Ollie needs sugar. Sharpish. What's that? Down the road. It's a vegan market 3 minutes from our house. And I had some vegan food. And it was the best vegan food I've ever had.
Why are we just bringing up veganism? Like, why do you keep bringing it up in conversations that
because
aren't connected?
Because it's Veganuary. You get a free pass in this really awkward pun that I can't say.
Yeah.
I think it's
Veganuary?
Veganuary. I think it's a terrible name.
Yeah.
I don't think it works as well as everyone says it does.
It's not as clever as Stoptober, I don't think.
No, that's an all-time.
Or Movember.
Movember's great.
Yeah.
Did you hear Brandi Rhodes's epic pun?
That she is the chief brandy officer.
I love that.
And not as in like Brandy the drink, but Brandy her name. Yeah. Branding, very good.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was I can't remember what it's called because I think it's a South African thing. It was mac
Phenomenal
and cheese.
Accent
thank
work.
You. Mac and cheese inside a deep fried folded over pizza.
Oh, hello, mate.
I know.
Hello.
So it's mac and cheese, effectively in a calzone.
Yeah.
And they've deep fried that. And then they've given me this cashew replacement probiotic cheese sauce.
Yes, please, mate.
Ah, just incredible.
Oh.
I was unprepared for how not just delicious it was, but filling me up.
Yeah.
There was no meat in that. Oh, and I felt full for 6 hours.
Oh,
and
cranky.
I had a vegan donut as well.
I would like some of that. Mm. Thank you very much. Where is this market?
It's the brewery down my road, which does a fantastic porter. So, actually, you should come up.
I should, yeah.
It's the first Sunday of every month.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, please, mate. Yeah. I know my wife is listening, so... She'll definitely want to get on that. We'll get some dates in the diary. I would like that very much. I'm going to read this quick email here from Harrison Berry. I know we said we might do Agony Arts, but I haven't got time, I'm afraid. I'd like to dedicate a lot of time to Agony Arts. And I feel like if we don't do them at the start of the second of the outro, we just won't have time. But this comes in from Harrison. It says, "Hi, Luke and Ollie. You may remember my last email when I asked you about a pay-per-view to show my girlfriend to try and convert her to being a wrestling fan. I took your advice and decided not to show her a full show, but just a few matches from shows I enjoyed. Over the Christmas break, we sat down and watched the following. TLC from WrestleMania X7 because Carnage."
Fantastic choice.
Is an odd one. "John Cena and The Rock from WrestleMania 28. But he does clarify, because she knows who they are.
Yeah, I can see the benefits of
that. I think so as well. Asuka versus Ember Moon from TakeOver because it's a great women's match. I probably would have gone with Bayley Banks from TakeOver Brooklyn 1.
Not the one I would have chosen.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Aleister Black versus Velveteen Dream because Black is my favourite wrestler. And, drumroll please, her favourite out of all of them, Volta versus Will Ospreay from OTT's 4th anniversary show.
Oh, fantastic.
He calls
She's him, got he, taste.
And he says, what a mark. Anyway, she says how interesting, and she said it was interesting, and she can see why I like it, and she may watch more with me sometimes, but won't go out of her way to watch it, which is understandable. Thanks for the advice, guys.
That was a polite letdown, that was.
Yeah, I can see why you like this.
It's the killer word in it is interesting. Mm. Oh, that was interesting.
Yeah.
No, that's... Oh, okay, you like this thing. I can see you like it. It's totally not for me.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say it's crap.
My wife had the exact same reaction when she watched WrestleMania. When we first... Actually, before we started dating. So it was WrestleMania... 31, I think, with Triple H Sting. It's the one where the Undertaker streak was broken.
That was... Oh, God.
Was that 28?
What?
I seem to remember her being there for 31, but she wasn't. That was
I can't remember where any WrestleMania has happened. I've got Daniel Bryan at 30, Undertaker and that's it.
Streak broken. It was 30, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, WrestleMania 30. So it was WrestleMania 30 that she watched, and at the end of it, she was like, it was long, I don't want to watch it again, but I can see why you like it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Ah. Oh.
She was so confused at the start, though, because that's the one where it opens with Hogan and then Austin and Rock come out. And me and my mate, John, were just, like, super into everything. And she was like, I have no idea who any of these people are or why this is happening.
She doesn't know who Hulk Hogan is.
Probably not, no.
What he has transcended, and The Rock, transcended wrestling.
I reckon The Rock...
Knows best.
Well... Rock is a name that she would know, and she would recognize The Rock. I think Hogan is a name she might recognize, but if you put a picture in front of her, she might not know who the picture is.
No, Hogan is in the Charlie Chaplin thing, where, like, anyone in the world, you go to a remote village in the Amazon and say, draw me Charlie Chaplin, and they'll do, like, the bowler hat and the mustache. And then you say, draw me Hulk Hogan now, and they'll do the
draw you a leather couch.
They'll do the moustache, the bandana, the glasses.
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, she's listened to this. I might have misremembered it. But I think she was probably confused as to why we were that excited for three old guys just talking to each other for seemingly half an hour.
Well, that's WrestleMania.
It's the showcase of the immortals.
Seriously, guys. Stop being so immortal. Make way for some new guys, though.
Well, we've got to get that Triple H match in. Anyway, that's all we've got time for on this episode. Laurie and I will be back tomorrow with Board Game Corner, most likely, for the NXT review, which I think is probably more what you're going to tune in for.
Are they actually having a show this week?
NXT?
Yeah. Well, is it more best-ofs?
Well, it would be the results of the best-of thing, but I can't imagine that's going to take up the whole show. If it does, I may hang myself, but I can't guarantee that's going to happen.
Just watch the takeovers, mate. Honestly.
Honestly.
It was a Patreon goal, man.
It was a Patreon goal. We might be going to NXT TakeOver Blackpool.
We are not going.
We did get an email from someone asking if we were going. And he said, I know you were trying to get Ollie to go. Alex, to answer your question, no, because Ollie does not want to go.
A big trip.
Your exact word to me was like, if it was something better than Pete Dunne versus Joe Coffey, I might have gone.
Oh, that makes me sound really... That coupled with my Pete Dunne thing in the opening of the show makes me sound bad.
But he does end with a joke. Hey, the shovel was a groundbreaking invention. So yeah, that is all we've got time for. We'll be back tomorrow, Laurie and I, for the NXT review. And then Ollie and I will be back on Saturday for the magazine version of this show, where likely we'll be talking about AEW and what it means for the wrestling landscape in 2019. Take care. I love you all.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.